indexed, brief, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
Hello.
Yeah. Oh my God, hacks. Hello.
Hello.
Oh. And Ionix. You're back online.
Yes.
How's it going, man?
Going pretty well. Yourself?
Yeah. Not bad. Not bad.
Excellent.
Need more sleep though. I've worked out I need exactly 7 hours of sleep, otherwise I'm not in a working mode.
Yes.
Yeah. Alright,
I didn't get much sleep last night.
No. There's a few things that I want to talk about today in the news.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone has any news to talk about before I go on to this.
Just a little bit. It's a cool program that the University of Southern California is offering. It's an interactive media grad student program.
Right.
And one of the things that they have is it's all Wi-Fi enabled in the lecture room, and there's sort of like a back channel chat system set up for the students to compare notes and to ask questions and things during the class.
Oh, that's awesome.
They also have 14 screens projected for the lecture hall.
Right.
The speaker fills some of the screens with information from the lecture, and attendees fill more of the screens with chats about the lecture, and then there's one screen that one student in the class, dubbed the Google Jockey, fills with websites in response to what the speaker's talking about and what they're chatting. So it's like a huge collaborative presentation, which seemed like a really cool way to go about it.
Yeah.
Also, I believe it's Duke University is giving out free iPods to a lot of its students taking certain courses, and they're actually podcasting the lectures so that they can study and things. They can study and things. The lectures, you know, with their iPods, but they're also allowed to, you know, download their music to them as well. This is from the U.S. News and World Report. They did a whole article on, you know, how colleges and universities are using technology basically to teach, kind of getting in touch with the information age. There's an MIT project. That's a teaching model for Shakespeare in a 3D environment. They've dubbed it Grand Theft Shakespeare.
Cool.
Which seems pretty cool.
Yeah.
But that's about it for me.
Sure. A quick thing about open source news. OpenOffice 2.0 has been released. So yeah, it sounds pretty good. OpenOffice is an XML file format for saving office documents, blah blah blah, spreadsheets, memos, charts, presentations. Basically does everything that Office 2003 does, only better and for free. Do you have anything before you Planet? Do you want to talk about anything before I head off into the main thing?
No, I've not seen anything big that's caught my eye, so
okay.
No.
How about your private projects?
Still where they were the last time you asked me.
Still very private.
Still very dusty.
And
not really being worked on.
Any luck on DVD releases?
Well, I've just started downloading the episodes, basically. So as soon as they're in, I'll create an ISO, take that to work, get the cover slip laid out, cut up and whatnot, and start churning them out. So fantastic. It is moving forward.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, in I think the cover looks great. Well, I think we might.
Oh, hell yeah.
We're going to need to work on. We're going to need to work on like the back to what kind of content we might talk about. I don't know. Do you think we should list the entire episodes like 1 to 41? I don't know. If that's
yeah, really let's let's go ahead with the idea we had last night of naming the episodes by the users.
There's not much point in saying, you know, 1 to 41, because you could just say there's 41 episodes on this DVD and then like name a few of them or something like that. Maybe, I don't know.
Cool.
Yeah. What do you think, Linux?
I think it's a great idea. Have we had any response to the name our episodes project? Or
no.
Our listeners are slackers.
Yeah.
Slackers!
Come on, guys.
With all the work that we put into it, damn it, to bring you entertaining and informative news.
Come on, guys. Get your ass in here. What's going on?
Come on.
Come on.
It's not... Come on.
Come on.
It's not difficult. It's fun. Must we do everything for you?
Right. Spyware is rampant in UK computers. The UK has one of the highest rates of computer-infected infections with secret programs that track what people are doing on their machines, research shows. Only Thailand and the US had more infected PCs, found a study by a security firm, Webroot. It's released a report with a meeting in London of MPs and computer experts to discuss what can be done to combat so-called spyware programs. These hide themselves in hard drives and can gather information about users. According to anti-spyware firm Webroot, almost 65% of customers' Windows PCs are infected with so-called adware. These are a form of spyware that can subject people to pop-up adverts, hijack their home pages, and install bookmarks. The most malicious spyware program lurks unseen on PCs, as well as steal confidential information such as passwords, login details. People were worried about the spam, but spyware is now the bigger danger. Oh my gosh! I mean, it's like, for fuck's sake, man, you're using a Windows machine like SP1 with Microsoft fucking Internet Explorer, alright? Spyware is not a fucking new thing. It's been around since, like, 1995, like, since 95 edition was released in, like, 98. I'm like, come on, guys. For fuck's sake.
You get with the program.
Yeah, get with the times, man. You know, we're moving on from this. It's not anymore about the spyware, man. It's about the brain probes. This time we said, you know, they're trying to stay ahead of the curve. You know, they're trying to stay ahead of the curve. What the fuck does that mean? What the fuck does that mean? Spyware and adware also travel alongside file-sharing programs, which are evil, that people download from the interweb. The internet is evil. We should ban the internet. Also, some websites take advantage of bugs in Microsoft Windows Explorer browser to install spyware on machines that people visit. So, basically, don't visit fucking porn sites unless you are covered by Firefox. Free anti-spyware programs such as adware and spybots are used by many people to clean up their PCs. All I have to say is reformat, install Linux, and you'll be okay? Because it says run exe, you run exe, you bastard, you cannot do anything, man. You know, we're covered, the mafia has your back, okay? We're protecting you. So, yeah.
Yeah, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I just had to do that little rant, I'm sorry.
No, it's alright, I wholeheartedly agree. It's called Firefox, people!
Use it, okay?
Get with the fucking program! Or Opera, for God's sakes! Opera!
Yeah.
Absolutely no freaking reason on the face of the earth that you should be using Internet Explorer. It's crap! It's shite! There's no reason! You're begging for problems! Begging! You're like putting yourself out there saying, Internet, screw me over, please!
Hey, ownsme.exe, why not install? Look, I'll even click on it so that it fucking... Oh my god.
Yes, and it's a great idea to click on okay to any pop-up that comes on there.
Anything
just click yes.
Yeah, fine. Trust this program. Yep, yep, that's fine. I don't care. I mean,
always trust third-party referrers.
Yeah.
Always validate on expired certificates.
Installing dialer. Well, I've got broadband. Why the fuck do I need a dialer? Well, I guess I'll just plug in my modem and see what happens. Oh, I've got a bill of £500. Now they know.
I don't know. Why don't you just, store your credit card numbers in the internet cache as well? Use all of that. Make sure that that Internet Explorer remembers all of your passwords and all of your personal information.
Listen, I think from the day that they thought it might be clever to, cache some of this information, let Microsoft Internet Explorer handle your passwords. I mean, I don't know. Do you use the auto complete function or something like that?
No, it's a general rule.
What do you run? Do you use Internet Explorer? I mean, I use Internet Explorer for most things because sometimes things don't work. But even then, I wouldn't be using Internet Explorer. I'd be using Avent or something like that. What do you use?
Well, it differs from machine to machine. On the Windows platform, obviously using Internet Explorer, instead of getting to Opera, it's a damn fine piece of work. But I've never really had a problem with spyware, because running a proper firewall, running viral protection, and running spyware hunters and killers programs, then, and also knowing what to look out for.
Yeah.
As well, like you say, not clicking on everything and trusting everything and going, ooh, well, there's a pop-up that says big fat cocks, click here.
Yes!
sold! Then I've never really had a problem with it. So.
Well, it's because you're wised up, you know how to protect yourself, okay?
Well, paranoid, it does the job.
I know.
It's being paranoid.
Yeah, I mean, shit, man, some people can be so stupid. Like, my friends, they come up to me, they're like, oh man, my computer's running so slow, I've got this, I'm like, so what are you running? I bet you're running Windows. And they're like, yeah, of course I'm running Windows. Like, as if there's nothing else there to run. I'm like, yeah, that's your problem right there, God. There's so many simple ways to protect yourself on the internet, and I don't see why they're making such a big deal out of it, because it's an essential part of the internet. It's like, whose fault is it now? Do you see what I mean? It's like, whose fault is it that you've got so much spyware? Is it the spyware company's fault, or is it Microsoft's fault for selling you inadequate software? You tell me. I mean, what do you think?
I don't know whose doorstep to lay the blame at. Yeah, you could blame Microsoft, but I would blame the users, to be honest.
But I mean, I would put the blame on Microsoft for a starter, because the reason why, I might be wrong. I mean, come on, I'm only one guy with one opinion, but. They are a multinational company, okay? They span the globe. Microsoft is the name. People are kind of they're blinded by Microsoft. You just go up to a guy in the street and go, "You're running Microsoft? Yeah, XP? Yeah. Have you heard of Linux? No, I don't know what it is. Okay. The reason is because they've got a fuckload of money. Now they should be doing something to protect these people, and why not take a little bit from this, why not take a little bit of that, and construct an operating system that is secure, and your own fucking internet browser that's become the standard now. Why is it so full of bugs? It's not acceptable. That's what I'm saying. It's not an acceptable thing from such a large company.
Yeah, you'd think they'd have the resources to be able to make sure that something was tight before they released it, but it just seems like by the time they finally shore up all the problems, or at least most of them, the next product comes out and it's holier than Swiss cheese. It's
exactly.
Holier than the frickin' Pope. It's planned obsolescence, really.
Yeah, it's unacceptable. It cannot, legally, something should be done about this, you know, like, well, I'm sure there is a lot of things, but they're just so powerful. It's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, come on. For fuck's sake. Why doesn't XP ship with fucking Firefox? You know, it's free.
Yeah, because Microsoft didn't develop it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's their competitor. They don't make money by releasing their competitor's software, that's for damn sure.
I know, but okay, maybe I've got a really kind of weird mind. I don't think about profit and shit. But I'd be like, yeah, fuck, this is free. Let's do a deal with, like, Mozilla and say, hey, guys, how about we ship every single unit with one of you? Yeah, let's just make it default. Yeah, fuck it, you know. We're doing some good, you know, you've got a far... All right, hands up, you've got a far better browser than us. Let's see how we can make this so that it's kind of standardized and people are focusing to develop their websites to be compatible with Firefox. Let's do that, okay, for a change, right? Okay? No.
Well, they wouldn't really lose any money on the deal. That's the thing that I don't understand.
Exactly. They,
like,
they wouldn't lose any money at all because Internet Explorer ships as standard. Even if it doesn't ship, the actual operating system supports the engine to render the web pages. So it's like, what the fuck, man? You know, you might as well. I mean, what? You're not going to lose anything. In fact, you're going to gain more secure customers. But that's Microsoft for you.
Although then again, you know, sometimes I wonder if part of the problem is because so many people, like it's the majority of people in the world use Internet Explorer as their browser, that when people are trying to design exploits for flaws and things, they look at it first. Like, I wonder really if all of that international attention for malware, spyware, adware, and things was turned towards Firefox, how it would hold up. You know, I think initially there would be a lot of problems, but one of the nice things about open source is the problems get fixed almost immediately.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good thing about it. And I just have to say, I've been ranting at 155 beats per minute because I've got a little beat counter on my mixer, and it's come up with 105 beats per minute.
Rant.
Oh, man. Okay, this is something you're going to love. Labour survives ID card rebellion. Controversial plans to introduce ID cards have cleared the Commons, but with the government's majority slashed to its lowest since the election. MPs gave the flagship cards bill a third reading by 309 votes to 284, a majority of just 25. The bill now goes to the House of Lords, where it faces further rocky ride. Charles Clark said the bill would not remove civil liberties, but will give people more control over their identities. More control! You're going to have more control with this card. Okay, guys, you know, you're going to be able to control your identity with this card, you know? We're just going to, like, yeah, sign here... We want your fingerprints. Why not a retinal scan? Yeah, fuck it, that'd be cool. Yeah, we'll just put it on this database. But you're gonna have the control, obviously. You know, you can always say like, no, I don't want the card. Yeah, fine. You know, fuck off. fuck's sake. Earlier, 21 Labour rebels, backed by opposition MPs, tried to block moves to force passports applications to submit their details to the ID card database, but that failed attempt by 310 votes to 278, / Labour's majority to 32. The vote comes after Labour MP Nigel Gerrard tabled an amendment to the bill that would make it impossible for people to apply for passports without having to submit their details for the ID card database. He said, "We British people have the right for hundreds of years to leave the country and return. Now they will not be able to do that without registering their personal details," he said. He accused the government of introducing creepy consumption provides a manifesto pledged that the ID card scheme would initially be voluntary, but Home Office Secretary Charles Clark denied ID cards would lead to a Big Brother state or removing of civil liberties. He said that the bill would set limits on information that could be stored on the database register. There will be no criminal convictions on the register, no criminal records, no financial records, no political or religious opinions at all. He said, no, it will not. It will be just your identity at all. With an impossible linkage to your personal health or police national computers, which will also be removed during the bill's report stage. So, what will it hold? I mean, if it's not going to hold any of that, then what use is it? To verify your identity, of course. Yes, yes, of course. We are going to verify your identity. Because we'll have to...
Your papers, please.
Yeah. Your identity belong to us.
Yeah. Yeah, screwy.
I mean, can you see how they're twisting this thing back and forth? It's just, I don't know, have you heard any new news about this planet seeing as you are in the UK, as so am I?
Hello.
Huh? You're surprised. Hello? Hello,
Planet? Have we lost him?
I think so. No, I think
he's... Oh, dear.
This is weird. It looks like he's talking, but I can't hear him. Let me close the call and call him again.
Yeah.
I just heard him go, oh.
Hello.
Hello.
There you are.
Don't know what happened there. I heard you talking, but we couldn't hear you.
I couldn't hear a thing from you guys.
Oh, right. For how long?
Just after the identity card thing. What's it going to hold?
Oh, okay.
If it doesn't hold what they claim it won't hold.
Oh, right. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I was just saying, have you heard anything more about this? Because,
That it's still going ahead, even though it's got a very narrow majority now, thank God. It's going over to the House of Lords, where it is going to face one hell of a trial, because there's been a lot of the Lords guys come out and say, this is bollocks, you know, way before it got to them, and said, look, this is just fucking stupid, and here's why.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going right to the wire, this fight. Could go either way. Hopefully the House of Lords will beat it down and kill it. Stake the bastard through the heart.
Yeah. Kill him all, that's what I say.
Mm.
I was planning on going onto a little cryptography part of the show. Seeing as we're not able to do any phone freaking things from Ionix.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No,
I got sidetracked here a little bit with my sister and whatnot.
No, that's fine, man. That's all good. So yeah, I mean,
it'll save a little something for later on in the week.
Yeah, I mean, I can. Let's see what we can talk about cryptography. What do you think?
Ooh, fun.
Yeah. What do we know about cryptography? Now, apparently, Julius Caesar had to send messages to his generals. Now, he didn't trust the messengers, so he had to devise a way, somehow, to hide the message, but also make it readable to the generals. So what he did is replaced every single A in his message with a D, and every B with an E, and so on through the alphabet. So,
simple substitution flavor.
Yeah, so basically when the generals got the message, it would just be like, but he would supply them with a key to unlock the message. And he would just say, the key is shift by 3, shift by 4, depending on the rule that the plain text was ciphered with. So, basic principles...
His enemies must not have been very clever.
No. Now, this worked for him, I think, for, like, I don't know, a few good for years, and the enemies didn't clock on, or the messengers were actually trusted. Who's to say? I wasn't around that time, so I can't really, you know, give you a...
Oh, I was. It worked fine.
Yeah, it was shit. No internet, just fucking A, B, C, C, B, D, 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 B, F, yeah. Now, let's talk about a bit about what encryption and decryption means. So basically, you have your plain text document, which is just plain text to anyone to read. So I can pass it to you, you can see, right, okay, I know the secret code. So let's say my secret was that I am a lesbian, and I didn't want anyone else to find out. So I would have to find a method to make that completely unreadable to anyone, and that would be by using a... let's say an algorithm, an encryption method, or like a machine, something like that, to make it so that it, something goes in, there's a process, and crap comes out the other side. That's basically how the encryption method works. You know, as a practical sense in hacking, it's always a good idea to incorporate encryption in the stuff you do, even if it's just going to be for fun. The other side of it is once you get into a good routine of it, you're securing your own personal information. But it is also good fun, you know. I don't know if you guys employ any kind of encryption method.
I do, with sensitive materials.
Yeah.
Mostly, I use plain text converters using a double blowfish algorithm, which I'm sure we'll cover a bit later.
Yeah, we will, yeah. What about you, Planet?
A little bit at work when it calls for it, but my general stuff day-to-day isn't that interesting.
Yeah.
So,
What do you use at work, if you will reveal or not?
PGP.
Oh, right, okay, cool. How does that work out for you?
Works fine. It's worked fine for years. So, it's good enough for us.
Yeah, it's pretty strong. Now, this method is called Caesar's Cipher. You can actually make your own Caesar's Cipher by creating a disk with alphabet on it going from A to Z, or A to Z if you're an American. And, and then another disk that's larger than that, with, like, let's say, C to fuck knows what on the other side. So, what you need to do... Actually, no. You have A to Z and an A to Z on the other side. So both disks with the alphabet. And then you twist that disk slightly to 3 points or 4 points. And then every single letter that you put in, you just turn the smaller disk, and that gives you the value of the encryption. And if you were really going to be clever, you would actually change that encryption method each time. Each time you would enter a plain text letter. So what you would end up with would be an encrypted letter, and underneath it the key to that letter. So let's say W and 6. And then you'd have, like, X and 4, and Z and 6, or something like that, you know, going along. So, when you send that message across, the other person receiving it needs to be able to decipher that message. And the only way that person's going to be able to decipher it is with the key. So, what you've given them is the plain text. Sorry, you've given them the encrypted text, and they need that decryption key. Now, where that can fall down on is if somebody intercepts that key that you're sending them, because in effect you're sending them the encryption method, but also you're sending them the key to encrypt it. So if somebody got the encrypted message, all they'd have to do is wait for the key to come across as well. And then basically, or either they just fucking, you know, brute force that message and see if they can break it.
An easy way to do that, actually, is by taking the, at least in the English language, the frequency of letters.
Hmm.
like for instance, E's are used much more often than X's, things along those lines, then mathematically representing the encrypted message and then applying the amount of use in an average, you know, paragraph, say, and trying to assign letters that way.
Yeah.
Now, once you figure out, like, what your E's are, then the rest of the cipher in this type of circumstance will fall into place. When I was a kid, actually, like 9 or 10 years old, I used to sort of develop my own simple substitution ciphers as kind of a hobby. One of my favorites was to take an exponential algorithm, a formula, and to use that plot to use what's called a shifting cipher.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be numerically represented, but unless you had the actual formula, like the mathematical formula to draw the curve, you wouldn't be able to figure out what it was, because what I was doing is using, like, if you graphed it out, on the bottom of the graph you'd have A to Z, and then you'd have a curve plot, and on the left-hand side of the graph, the vertical portion of it, you'd have a numerical reference. So though A might be represented as, say, 1, J could be represented by any number depending on the formula of the curve.
Yeah. And, you could take that principle, and also, as I said before, you could actually shift the key each time, so that you wouldn't get that repeated method of, let's say, using the plain text system of, with the key of 3, secret would end up as VHFUHW. So there you see where secret has 2 E's, you have 2 H's. And from there you can work out, right, if H is that, so that's E, 1, 2, 3. Ah, okay. So they're using the key of 3. Let's see if V goes down to S. Yeah, it does. F, oh, fuck, I've just worked out their encryption method. So that illustrates how the conventional kind of cryptography isn't that secure. So he employed another method, or maybe even an algorithm to encrypt this, would be much more secure, although it wouldn't be as fast. So this is where the computer steps in, because it would take you a very long time, unless you were a very experienced mathematician and you were quite capable of handling numbers in your head and on paper. It would take you a good few hours to maybe encrypt, I don't know, like a page of text, because you'd have to repeat the process. And also, you cannot make a mistake, because if you make a mistake, it fucks the entire thing up. Especially if you're going to involve an algorithm or something like that, so you wouldn't really want to make any mistakes, because the person at the other end will be like, what the fuck is this guy trying to tell me? Point the guns at where? Yeah. So, this is where public key and private key comes in. Now, I think we might leave that for our second edition. The practicalities of this right now in the world that you stand in. There are quite a lot of programs out there that will do the job of actually encrypting and securing your data. Such as, I don't know, TrueCrypt. Another one I use, which uses RSA encryption, which is called SecWay, which is spelled SECWay, which basically encrypts your instant messenger conversation at both ends. It also verifies that RSA key for you, and it generates an SHA-1 hash and an identity key for both ends, and it's roughly the size of 2,084 bits, which is pretty hardcore for MSN or something like that. So I would recommend people just starting off doing something like that. It's very simple to set up. It's not a pain to use, and you really don't have to be worried about speed, because right now where computers are, that's fine. I don't know if anyone uses anything like that.
I don't tend to use it on a daily basis myself. I've used it from time to time, like I say, and it's never been a real performance thing by doing it.
I employ for like my USB sticks a program called TrueCrypt. It's an open source program that allows you to do a lot of stuff. It employs a various amount of encryption methods, such as Blowfish, Twofish, and stuff like that. We'll go into that maybe later on. I don't know. Maybe Onyx can shed a little bit more light onto that. But basically what it does is it gives you plausible deniability. I've forgotten how to speak. Where it encrypts a portion of your partition with a hidden non-fingerprint method, and encrypts one with just plain FAT32. So you can stick files and shit in there that's just, you know, my name, blah blah blah, CV, work, whatever. And in the hidden part, you have all your hacksaw encodes. So if Mr., you know, government agent comes up to you, looks at that USB disk, they're going to see nothing. If they then thought, right, maybe he's hiding something, they try and scan the entire disk, they maybe, you know, dump the whole fucking hex file of the database of the... they dump the whole image onto something and read it, they won't be able to work out that that is actually encrypted, and they won't actually be able to work out how it was encrypted, which is very cool.
Yeah,
I think the key factor in all encryption is even if you employ the most hardcore encryption method, you still, you know, the password is the key. You really want to be having like a 16 plus bit key, you know, a character key. You really, really do want to do that. You want to stretch it as much as you can, because if you just say like God, you know, I mean, that's pretty breakable, and it might even be able to be brute forced. So in a practical sense, have a good encryption method, but have an even better password.
Definitely.
Yeah.
The higher bit the encryption key, and the higher bit that the encryption algorithm uses, the more secure it is.
Yeah, definitely.
Some of the freely available encryption methods out there use absurdly powerful encryption. The highest that I've heard was 2,000 and something bit. Which, it's not that it's unbreakable. I remiss to say that anything is unbreakable, but the amount of resources and time that it would take to break it make it really, really infeasible unless somebody really, really needs to get at your data.
Oh, yeah.
And by somebody, I mean, like, very large government organizations.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to stress the point that never rely on your encryption method. You know, do not buy an encryption product, because anything that states that it's unbreakable or anything like that, they're lying. Because no matter how good the algorithm is, someone somewhere will find a way to break it.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time and processing power.
Yeah, exactly. It is, yeah.
What's the old adage? If you don't want something known, don't write it down.
Yeah, keep it in your head.
Try breaking that encryption. That's going to be a scary day.
Yeah.
It's in your head. Let's just brain scan you.
Yeah. Oh, man, you don't want to brain scan a planet's brain.
Dead.
Planet's brain uses stenography to encrypt messages in his memories of porno films.
Yeah.
Virtually unbreakable. See, the trick with that is anybody that want to get at the data is going to be so distracted by the porno itself that within a few minutes they're just going to forget what they were doing anyhow. Really an ingenious method.
Yeah, plausible deniability. Oh, fuck. Please say it somewhere.
Deniability.
Deniability, thank you.
There's a similar method as well called Stenography.
Stenography, yes. Hiding stuff in porn images.
Well, yeah, hiding plain text within
porn.
GIFs and JPEGs, yeah, which for the most part is porn.
It's porn.
So, yes, that is actually what I do in my head.
Yeah, there's a great little freeware program called HIP, Hide in Picture, that does just that. I've used it, and it's very good.
Yeah.
And the more complicated the image, as far as, you know, difference in shade, difference in tone, and, like, the busier the picture is, the better it works.
Right. I mean,
but,
you can't tell also, that there's something hidden in there.
No. It's very, very difficult to determine that. If you actually have to look at the image as the data stream.
Right.
Before you can even start to realize that there's something in there.
Right.
And then even then, it actually uses encryption as well as a stenographic technique, so it's very difficult to figure out where in the picture each little bit of data that you put in there is.
Right. So how would you go about deciphering it? So let's say you had something really high speed, low drag, and you encrypted it in a picture of, let's say, a ferret, and you had to send it along. How would that person know that that picture is encrypted where it's meant to be sent to?
It's virtually impossible to do unless you have a copy of the original image before that you can make a comparison to. That's why when you're doing this sort of thing, they suggest using original pictures. You know, because if somebody can go to a website, download the picture, and then compare the bit streams between the two, then it's obvious that there have been changes made to it. Then it's a matter of finding exactly where those changes are made and what is there. And then you end up having to crack the encryption so that you can put it all together in the right area, in the right order.
That's precisely the downfall of TrueCrypt, is if you employ that same method of, if you notice that there was a change in that random mess of code, you could work out what was happening there. But it's very, very difficult. I mean, how would you go about actually deciphering that picture? Is it possible?
It is possible.
Right. Hopefully it will be possible to decipher it, because you would want somebody to decipher it, I take it, or is it just a one-time only process?
No, it's possible.
What you can do is if you put this image after the stenography has gone through back into the program, the program automatically recognizes its own handiwork, if you will.
Oh, so it does, leave a fingerprint.
It leaves a fingerprint for itself.
Right.
It's very difficult to be able to notice that it's there in the picture unless you're taking the pictures. And, you know, you have to know which program was used for the stenography.
Yeah.
And then even once it recognizes its own handiwork, it prompts you for a key. Now, that key can be any length. It's much like a password, but it can be of any length and use any character.
Yeah.
So then it gets into, like, traditional...
So it's like a
phrase
word or phrase...
It could be that. It could be a PGP key.
Yeah.
It could be an entire paragraph from Shakespeare.
Yeah.
You know, it's anything. Mm. Anything. An interesting way of going about
it. Another image. like the code
really
of another
could,
image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A really interesting way of creating extremely secure passwords is there was a piece of software out there that Radio Shack was giving away for a while called a cat. It was kind of like a play off of the mouse. And all it really is a barcode scanner. And the original purpose of the device was to be able to take anything that had a barcode on it, scan the barcode with the cat, and it would automatically bring up the web page for whatever product that was.
Right, cool.
Now, one of the things you can do is at a prompt to enter a password or to set a password, you could scan a barcode, and it would put, I think it was between like 100 and 200 characters as to what that was. And then all you would need is that barcode to be able to enter it as a password. And those passwords are pretty freaking unbreakable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So you basically, if you need a password, you'd scan that specific barcode.
Yes.
Right, okay.
It could be, you know, a can of Pepsi,
yeah.
You know, all of the barcodes on a can of Pepsi are the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, or Jolt Cola, just keep one on your desk at all times. I recommend it highly.
Yeah.
And, you know, just scan it off.
Oh, fuck's sake, you've been sponsored again, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I've been... I was trying to slip in the advertisement there without without too much notice.
How many times have you been sponsored, but we just don't get anything?
God. Oh, I'm an American. We're capitalist pigs.
Yeah.
I can really go for a Twix right now.
Oh, my Nokia.
Remember, for car parts, go to AutoZone, the hacker's choice of automobile parts. AutoZone.
Yeah.
Another really interesting stenography program for Linux is called MP3 Steno.
Yeah.
And it does the same thing as far as hiding data in an image, except it does it in an audio file, an MP3.
Yeah.
Oh.
And there's virtually no difference between the MP3 and when you listen to it. There's no difference at all. If for something like our purposes, you know, we could be encrypting all kinds of things
in
the MP3s of our shows.
Yeah, they are really
download. And since they're originals, and the only copies that exist would be the ones that have the data in them, there would be nothing to check them against.
Right.
Plus, with something like an MP3, you know, there are so many variables that go into encoding it, the bit rate, you know, and things along those lines, that there's so many differences in the file length and the, you know, the setup of the MP3. You know, all you have to do is, you know, search for a Led Zeppelin or song or something on peer-to-peer and notice how many times the same song comes up, but there's slightly different file sizes and this and that. Yeah, so there's a lot of options available out there as far as encryption and hiding data. There's another program for Linux that the name escapes me, but it actually uses a dual encryption. And the first layer of encryption is a dummy encryption. It's kind of like just scatters random data, you know, in a file. And the file works as normal, but if somebody does find out that there's something encrypted in there, then you can create this dummy file with a dummy password, and then what it does is it actually, in that file, encrypts the real data using a secondary password. So that if you were forced, you know, say through a subpoena from the Department of Justice or something, to give over your password, I mean, of course, you could always plead the Fifth Amendment in the United States, although that's pretty much admitting guilt. You could give them this password, have this dummy text file come up that might be, you know, it could be anything, you know, a letter to your mom. And
picture of Planet Lave naked. Oh, ooh, shit.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Speaking out loud again.
In the fireman's
guys.
Suit. But, you know, and you could give them that password, they would have their data then, and it's extremely difficult to see the second layer of encryption that's in there, so it gives you, again, plausible deniability.
Mm. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
It's an encrypted file. You know, yes, there's an encrypted file. Here's the password, and that's what you get. And then the second layer of encryption is virtually undetectable.
Right. Whoops. Sorry, guys. Yeah.
I know that program actually ships standard with Nothix STD.
Yeah.
So the name of it escapes me.
I guess people can research that. And I might do that myself, actually, because it sounds pretty hardcore.
Yeah, it is very hardcore.
I mean, you could take that example for your entire hard disk, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could. Or just a portion of the hard disk, like a hidden partition or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Or, you know, anything like a flash drive.
Mm. Yeah, I'd probably go for a flash drive, because really, if you've got sensitive, I think I talked about this in one of the episodes, if you've got anything sensitive, keep it on your person, because that way, you can destroy it very quickly. And it's easier to destroy a flash drive than it is to destroy a fucking hard disk, because, you know, you've got to, like, pull it out, maybe unscrew it, maybe not.
No thermite necessary.
No, exactly. You just basically put it on the floor, and with a heavy boot, stomping it repeatedly until it's in many different forms.
Little bitty pieces.
Yeah.
For that, I actually prefer CD-ROMs. They're extremely easy to destroy. Yeah, anybody who's ever scratched one knows. You simply place it on concrete, stand on top of it, and do the Michael Jackson spin move.
Exactly.
Make sure to grab balls in the direction of whoever's trying to get your data.
Because there's no way they're going to be getting anything from there.
No. No. Fuck, I have a hard enough time keeping those things around for more than 6 months at a time.
Yeah, that's very true. But...
You know, very, very lousy system for backing up data. Very good system for having easily destroyable data.
But the government doesn't like you encrypting stuff.
But they seem to like encrypting stuff.
Yeah. Is there not a law somewhere in America where you're not actually allowed to encrypt your data?
No. You're allowed to encrypt whatever you'd like. Sure. There is a law that says that that if they give you a subpoena for it, you're required by law to hand over the cipher and the encryption technique.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, you can just flat out refuse. And chances are, if they're that hardcore about subpoenaing your data, that you've got something in that encryption that will probably get you more time than failure to comply with a court order.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, is there any way to... I remember something, one of the episodes, where, I don't know who it was, but they said that either the government wasn't allowing some sort of encryption, but I know that they're not allowing encryption for voice over IP, or at least, yeah, this is it. I think they want companies who provide encryption for voice over IP communication to have a back door so that the government can enter and record your stuff so that you have tappable. Well, it just takes the whole encryption thing on its fucking side, because if you want something to be secure, you're not going to build a back door into it so that somebody could, just in case, it was really encrypted, but, you know, we can still listen to you guys, you know?
Well, God, the thing is under the Patriot Act, the CLIA was set up.
Yeah.
And under CLIA, all voice communication over United States infrastructure has to be able to be tapped at the switch by law enforcement if they demand so.
Yeah.
Now, there's absolutely nothing saying that, like, say, I couldn't set something up with my router or with my computer so that it's end-to-end encryption.
Yeah. Well, you can make your own encryption method.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the guy who developed the PGP software
is now dead.
Is developing a device for voice over IP to do the same, and he's actually come under a lot of scrutiny from government agencies for doing so.
Oh my God.
But, you know, he's continuing on with the project. I believe he demonstrated a prototype of it at a security conference in California maybe 3 months ago, 4 months ago. But it's not, from what he said, the encryption method and the software for that is ready to ship, but he's actually doing it with embedded hardware devices, and he's having a little bit of trouble with bugs with those, so that's what's delaying it.
Right.
But that's, I find, very interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So that would imply to network-routed telecommunications, wouldn't it, that Patriot Act law? Is that right?
The CLIA Accord.
Yeah.
It applies to all data and voice communication.
Fuck. That's
whether it be
I don't know, is,
a
it,
written
is
letter
it just me, or... That sounds some scary stuff there.
Yeah, it's Big Brother, you know. It's it's very scary. It's amazing how quickly Americans gave up some of our most fundamental rights to privacy immediately after 9/11.
Why did you? I mean, yeah, I know you were
I mean, when I say I mean as in America. So I know it's a. I'm phrasing it all wrong.
Okay.
But,
well,
yeah.
There was first off, there was a wave of terror and anger.
Yeah.
Like I knew instantly when this happened. I mean, the United States isn't known for letting things roll off its back.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, whatever, you know. No, we are the God of the Old Testament.
Yeah.
When somebody fucks around with us, it's fucking raining sulfur. We just don't fuck around with that. And the American people were out for blood. I mean, seriously, I heard discussions about nuking the Middle East. Like, people wanted retribution. Peace in the Middle East. Turn it all to glass. You know, people wanted retribution. The other thing is the thing got pushed through so remarkably quickly. I believe it was 15 days in between the time when the proposal for the law was announced and when it was actually voted on and put into law.
Yeah.
It was put into law so quickly that from what I hear, a good number of senators and congressmen didn't even have the opportunity or didn't even bother to read exactly what it was doing, which was horrible. A lot of people were for it because it gives law enforcement the quote unquote tools, to stop terrorism. And the general consensus among people in the United States is, oh, well, you know, this is to stop terrorists. I'm not a terrorist, so they're not going to use this against me.
Yeah.
History is a prime example of that. When you give a government agency, any agency, whether it be the presidential branch of the government, law enforcement, or even like the Department of Ecology, any kind of power, they are going to use it. You know, that was another thing is when we voted to give the president the power to go to war in Iraq. So many congressmen were like, "Well, I was voting to give him the power, to do this. I wasn't voting to do it, And that's a fallacy, because if you give somebody the power to do something, they are going to exercise that power.
Sure.
I think, like, for the most part, Americans are uneducated or uninterested.
Yeah.
And
that's the general view from around the world, I guess.
Yeah, and completely ignorant to the fact that these things will and do affect our daily lives.
Yeah.
And as time goes on, they are only going to affect us more and more. And many people were perfectly willing to trade in personal privacy rights, trade in our rights as Americans for perceived security. Now, did it make us any safer? I really don't think so.
No, I think they even make you even more insecure.
Yeah, well, my entire, philosophy on the whole thing is if you want people to stop hating us and stop wanting to destroy us, maybe you should stop fucking around with them.
Sure. Maybe, just maybe.
So many countries and people out there have beef with the United States, and I mean, it's genuinely, justifiable. Like, we look at what's going on in Iraq right now with the quote-unquote insurgents, although we're the insurgents, attacking, American troops and things, contractors and things like that. But I can tell you this, if Iraqi tanks started rolling down the street in Troy tomorrow, I'd be one of the first people out there with a freaking rifle trying to take these bastards down. You gotta understand, so many Americans, there's this double standard, they can't really put themselves in the place of the people that we're doing this to. I can guarantee that if some foreign power came to occupy the United States, everybody with a gun would be out on the street shooting at people.
Precisely. And if your own homeland was under siege, you'd exactly do the same thing. Get out there and fucking fight for your own country. You were born in, you were raised in, your family, and you want to protect your own livelihood.
And it's not even a matter of your country. You're protecting your land, you're protecting your property, you're protecting your families. It's not a matter of even national patriotism, I don't think, in Iraq. It's a matter of personal protection.
Yeah.
And I find it absolutely amazing that people don't understand or grasp that. Beyond which, I mean, all we've really did is create the perfect training ground for future terrorists.
Yes.
Like, if you're a terrorist, you want to learn how to fight against Americans, how to fight with troops, how to learn guerrilla warfare. You're going to do it in Iraq. It's a perfect staging ground. I mean, if we went down and shut down all these quote-unquote training camps.
If you come out alive,
terrorists,
you know, mission accomplished.
Yeah, or not.
Yeah.
If you believe so strongly in what you're doing that you are willing to strap a bomb to your chest and blow other people up, that is a form of idealism that cannot be combated through traditional warfare, cannot be combated at all through violence.
It's going to have to be a completely different method, you know. It's
only something that can be combated on an ideological level, and you're not going to do that by rolling tanks down Main Street.
Precisely. But it shows visually the American way, you know. You go in there full force, and I have to say the entire war was a farce, you know. It wasn't even mission accomplished, man, you know. It's still going on. People are still dying. That's not mission accomplished.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
We're really good at going in, blowing things up, taking out who we perceive to be the enemy, but we are not very good at securing the area in a permanent sense. I mean, the only way we would be able to do it is if America actually came out and said, we are an imperial power, we are taking over Iraq, we're making it a new province of the United States, and it's ours now.
Yeah.
Anybody that you know, stands against us is going to get shot.
Yeah.
And
that's kind of what they tried to do anyways.
Kind of, but they're trying to go about it while, you know, maintaining that we're doing this for the democracy and
the
freedom of the Iraqi people. Mm. Well, the Iraqi people are not free.
Yeah.
So long as the United States is there, so long as there are people willing to oppress them, whether it be the United States, Iran, you know, terrorists, whatever, the Iraqi people are not going to be free.
Sure.
And freedom has to be a choice of the people.
Yeah.
The people themselves have to fight for freedom. In the American Revolution and the French Revolution and all of the revolutions to overthrow monarchies and bring about democracy, never was there an instance where a foreign power came in, destroyed the militias, and then forced the democracy upon somebody. That's not the way democracy works.
That's right. It's not a democracy. I don't know. How do you feel about this planet?
It's a pretty big subject to go into. Basically, going back, rewinding a little bit, to what you said about how could the Americans let this happen with the Patriot Act. We're seeing the exact same thing happen here after the July bombings. You know, something that kind of scary rattles everyone up. And the average person on the street just wants to feel safe and go to work and, you know, fucking date the girlfriend and have a few pints and live a normal life. You know, they're genuine 9-to-5 working people. And you say to them, well, if you carry around this ID card, if you sacrifice this right, then, you know, you won't have to live through another day like this. You won't have to ever see another 9/11. You know, the world will be safe. You'll be fine. Yeah, we'll be able to keep tabs on everyone, but, hey, you're not a criminal, are you? No, of course you're not. You're fine. You're one of us. You know, you're okay, so we're not watching what you're doing, buddy. We're watching all the bad people. You know, so
the laws change so much that everybody's viewed as a criminal.
Sure.
Mm.
Entire concept of innocent until proven guilty has just been thrown out the window.
Yeah.
If you're being investigated, well, there must be a reason. You must be a criminal. The police don't investigate non-criminals.
They arrest you straight away.
Yeah. It's tremendously weird. I don't understand how many rights have been given up since the 50s. You know, at least in this country, and I'm sure over there as well, and in the quote-unquote free world. Well, the free world is a misnomer. It's an ideal. It's an ideal that really never existed and probably never will. And certainly not so long as we allow fear to control our policies. Another thing is much like the war on communism, we never won the war on communism. Communist nations fell, but communism is an idea.
Yeah.
You cannot destroy an idea.
Yeah.
You could destroy every communist and every communist nation, and communism as an idea would still exist. Terrorism is the same way.
Yeah.
And in many ways, I think
Terrorism has been going on for many years. The actual kind of definition of terrorism is controlling someone by fear. That's exactly what the Bush administration is doing. That's precisely what many governments have been doing for many years. And that's pretty much the definition of war as well, is also terrorism. But you can say war is organized militia, in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrorism as an idea is not going anywhere.
No.
If you don't want to fall victim to terrorism, then you need to make sure that you're not a target for terrorists.
Yeah.
And maybe that would involve not occupying somebody else's nation. I don't know. Sounds like a crazy idea, but hell, it might work.
Possibly. Okay, so shall we end it on this point, as we have surpassed an hour?
Okie dokie.
All right. Yeah,
and I just want to thank everyone for listening. And I want to thank you for joining us, and Planet as well.
Anytime, man.
And
You're very welcome.
Do expect Hacker Voice Season 1 DVD to go on sale sometime soon in the near future.
Pretty damn soon.
And anyone who is interested in meeting up with me tomorrow, do meet us at the Freemasons Arms from, let's say, 6:30 onwards. I will be there. I will bring down the Prototype Season 1 DVD pack just to shed light on it and just to kind of gauge some interest.
Show off the sweet, sweet cover design.
Precisely. modeled by me, designed by Ionix. He's now taking career in fashion design and will be remodeling my entire wardrobe.
Yes, we'll have you looking absolutely fabulous.
Darling.
Queer eye for the hacker guy.
Oh, hacker spin-off shows.
Yeah. Oh, man,
I think we should do an American Idol.
Yeah.
You know, world's lead hacker.
Yeah, hacker idol. And you have to come up in front of a group of judges with a laptop and present your elite skills. Yeah.
That would be great.
Mm. Oh, well, let's finish off with some classical, easy listening symphonomic. Orchestra, brought to you by Classic Radio FM.
Good night.
Thank you for listening again, and we'll be here. Well, actually, I don't think there'll be an episode tomorrow, depending on what time I roughly come back home. But I'll let everyone know I'll be
on
IRC. Yeah. Dude, I'm going to be drinking, man. Good night.
The drunken shows are the best.
Yeah. So, here's some Vivaldi Concerto number 3.
99.
Good night.
Good night, all.